Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 20 together. We'll read the entire passage in unison together. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. We'll read the entire passage in unison together. Of course, this being the Christmas story. Luke 2, 1 through 20. Ready? And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful day to be here in this place. 365 days a year, we focus on this here in this church. But just a little extra special because the world pays a little attention this time of year. Father, please be with our preacher today. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we realize that you not only came to earth, but you came to earth with a purpose. That purpose was very specific. Father, please, may we get what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I am going to entitle the sermon this morning, Put Jesus on Your Christmas List. Put Jesus on Your Christmas List. The Christmas story is well known to all of us. Even if you're not a church attender, you've heard it over and over again. God sends an angel and tells Mary that she is carrying the Christ child. Joseph and Mary, the Bible says, they go to Jerusalem to be taxed. Mary, while there, she is carrying that baby, and she is quite a ways into her pregnancy, and somewhere into the journey, she goes into labor. They go to an inn, a hotel, if you will, and they ask for a room. They cannot find one. I'm sure if there were other inns. Maybe they went from place to place. If you've ever on a holiday look for a hotel room at the last minute, it's almost impossible to do. And that's exactly what took place here. Mary and Joseph are looking for a place for Mary to go. She's expecting a baby any moment now, probably in labor, and they're trying to find a place for her, but could not. And just so you know, if you ask me, somebody was a little rude there. There had to be somebody that could have given up a room for a lady that was about to give birth, that was from out of town. And if you say, well, I'll tell you what, brother, those people out there in our society, they're awful rude. Rudeness is something that gets passed from generation to generation, because it's the very same rudeness we face today they must have faced on this given day. Finally, someone gives them permission to use a manger setting, and a little place where the animals would be, and then they say, you can go back there and you can use that for your wife and yourself, and your wife could give birth there. Now, the Bible says, at the very same time all of this is taking place, in the very same country there were some shepherds. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night. The angel of the Lord appears to them and tells them of the coming birth and the birth of that Messiah. There was also some wise men in the east. They too discover that the Christ child is coming. They knew the prophecy. They knew the prediction of the coming Christ, and they began to follow a star. Well, the Bible teaches us that night Jesus Christ was born. The Bible says that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. An angel, along with a heavenly host, when he was born, the Bible says that in heaven there was a heavenly host, and they were praising God and cheering. It would have sounded a little something like this. The angel said, the Christ child is born, and everybody would have done what? Been awful excited about it. You say, well, I've never heard that. Just read the scripture. That's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says that a heavenly host began to cheer and praise God. You say, so what's the big deal? Well, man's a sinner and man's on his way to hell because of that. And the Christ child was sent to be a perfect Savior. And the Savior had arrived. And they were awful excited about that. Now, to be honest, how Christmas developed into what it is today, I don't think we'll ever know everything that's taken place. But that was the first Christmas. What's happened? What's happened to Christmas? You see, that night, Jesus Christ was the focal point. He was what it was all about. And about 95% of the hubbub of today didn't even exist. The commercialization of Christmas. Let me see if I can put it in a little closer. Let me get it in proper prospect. Let me show you perspective. Let me show you something. For instance, how would you feel if it was time for your graduation from high school and you walked, they started playing Pomp and Circumstance, and you started walking down the aisle. You heard, that's fantastic music. I mean, you've got your gown on, and you've got your cap, and you've got your tassel, and everybody's there. You walk all the way down to the front, and you hear that great music, and then they don't give you a diploma. Yeah, they maybe call you up on the platform. Got all these people together and all this big, big thing. But they don't give you a diploma. You say, that'd be rotten. To think that somebody would have such a ceremony, but the person graduating not even get a diploma. Well, how do you think Jesus feels when it's his birthday and it seems like everybody gets attention but him? Wonder if a bride, it's time for a wedding. And the bride, dressed beautifully, arrives at the church, and their invitations have been set out, and there's a reception that's planned to follow, and beautiful wedding cake and punch, and there's been music practiced, and the church is decorated, and people have come from everywhere, and the bride is there, and oh my, she's got a beautiful dress on, and had her hair fixed up just right, and oh, she looked forward to this all of her life, and it's time for the wedding, but the groom doesn't show up. He said, that would be tragic. I agree. Well, wonder if they made it up here on the platform and the bride and groom did show up, but the groom didn't prepare a ring. You see, that would be devastating. Yes, it would. But how do you think Jesus feels? How do you think he feels when we're celebrating his birth, but he's usually the last one on our list and we give him very little time? Would he feel like the person that had graduated but received no diploma? Does he feel a little bit about like a bride would when the groom does not show, or a bride would if the groom was standing on the platform but did not have a ring ready? I mean, every lady knows that cherished possession of that ring that's placed on her finger that day. What would it be like if someone had all their life prepared to participate in athletic events and they started out doing well in high school and then maybe they got into college and had some athletic ability and then it developed and it went further and further and finally they're actually asked to participate in the Olympics and they go to the Olympics and they win the Olympics and the whole world is looking as the camera zooms in on them and it's time for the awards to be given and they're standing on the third pedestal and they're the highest person. They're about to receive a gold medal. And then the people that are putting on the award say, you know, we don't have a gold medal for you, but, you know, thanks. You say, my. Well, why would anybody hurt someone like that? I mean, the whole purpose of the award ceremony was to give that gold medal, and they say, sorry, forgot it, forgot about you. I wonder how Jesus feels when we have Christmas, but he gets so little attention. Think of a 50th wedding anniversary, but everybody forgets about it. Think of someone that has risked their life in battle. And it's time for some military honors to be given. And they show up and they've got their dress blues on. But then the commanding officer says, you know, we had some medals for you and you deserve them. But listen, I forgot them at home on the cabinet. You see, that's ridiculous. I wonder how Jesus feels when this day arrives and some people will not give a moment of this day to think about him. In high school, when we would win a basketball tournament, or actually if we'd win the regional or our sectional, at the end of the game, I don't know what was it most exciting to everyone else, but we'd get a ladder out and we'd take a pair of scissors and we'd cut the net down. Do y'all do that around here? We cut the net down. That's big stuff. I would have been upset if we had worked hard and got to the point where it was time to cut the net down. They said, let's just leave the nets where they're at. We'll let them hang. Hey, wonder if somebody made it to the Super Bowl and they won it and it was time after the game. You know, there's a coveted Super Bowl ring. Wonder if it was time to get your Super Bowl ring and everybody was handed an empty case. Open it up, no ring, just a little sign in there said, thanks. You say, that'd be bad. Or a basketball championship where no trophy was given, or a race car championship where they didn't get to pull into the winner's circle, or if they did, nobody was there. I'd say, hey, after you win this race, you go down there to the winner's circle. When they pull in, there's nobody there, just them. Hey, picture this. How would you feel if it was your birthday and everybody was partying everywhere, but you were the only person not invited? You'd say, come on. That doesn't seem right. You're right. That doesn't seem right. Do you know that there are churches everywhere today that said, you know, we'll just cancel church today in honor of Jesus? Now, that doesn't seem right to me. I mean, it's his birthday. Some of you mothers would never dare invite a whole bunch of people to your child's birthday party but not let your child attend. You say, that would be vicious. You're right. You say, that would be rude. Yeah, I would agree with that too. The song that was sung a few minutes ago, he is the reason for the season. Folks, what today is really all about is Jesus. It's about his birth. Now, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I really do. Mrs. Owens is like She likes to celebrate anything, you know. She's a celebrator. She likes it. She likes to decorate and to bake and to cook, and really she likes to shop. She likes to shop. If there's no Walmart in heaven, I'm not sure she wants to go. And it serves her right. I've been through hell at Walmart here. I mean, it's been... The other day, Rick Young, where are you at? I owe you, buddy. This guy, he said, guess what? There's a new Walmart down near Winchester. My wife caught wind of that. She said, we've got to go. We've got to go. You know, like going and seeing the Vietnam Memorial. We had to go there. I mean, it was a monument that could not be missed. So, and she said, I've just got a little bit of shopping. Men, I ain't ever seen a woman do a little bit of shopping in my life. That is a ploy. That is a lie out of hell. A little bit of shopping. Now, I just have a few more things to get. Yeah, for 700 people. So we got there. Is this big new Walmart Supercenter? We looked at everything. Things we didn't need. Other things we didn't need. I can judge the length of a shopping safari by the number of restroom trips I have to take. Four. And you're there a long time when you have to go to the washroom four times. She was on a roll, you know, roll back those prices. But she's rolling things into the cart, having a good time. You know, we shop, we get a list, and we shop by list. I require that. That's one of the requirements if I cut her loose. So we get this, you know, you put the name of the person, and then as you buy the gifts, you put them down there. She was doing so well, she was buying gifts, hoping to come up with names of people that could use it later on. Then, the lines were so long, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I probably could have with some of the thoughts I was having there. I mean, the lines were long. There were families actually eating meals in the lines. They had... I'm not kidding. They're cranking open all the stuff in their carts, and they're eating as they wait. And then these Spanish guys. We got this idea. They've got these self-checkout. You know, no human being there, just a computer. And you run your gift over the screen, and it makes a little noise, and it talks to you and everything. And so the line was real short there, and it was long where all the human beings were checking you out. And we got this idea. Well, look how short that line is. Now, there's a reason why nobody's in those lines. These Spanish guys were in line, two of them. They bought all this stuff, and they are trying to get the machine to work. And it's not going very well. It is not going very well for them at all. And I hesitate to say this, but this guy, he was getting mad, and he didn't speak English very well. He kept saying, I'm going to pop that thing. I'm going to pop this thing. He's getting louder and louder. The only thing is, he was not saying the word right. What he was saying is spelled P-O-O-P. And he's standing there saying, I'm going to, this thing, I'm going to, and everybody's going, I don't think that's possible, buddy. You know, I'm surrounded by all these shop happy people. And I got this Spanish guy that's trying to get his tomatoes to scan, and he's going to pop this thing. Then we got up there, and, you know, the machine, it talks to you. So I'm in a hurry. By this time, it's dark out, real bad, dark out. They got police monitoring the city, and we're still at Walmart. And so Mrs. Owens, she's scanning things, and I'm trying to take it right from her and put it in the basket so we can go. I won't put it in the cart and run. But you can't. You got to lay your item down so the machine knows that you laid it down. So I'm trying to figure out how to fake it out. I'm laying it and picking it up, and the machine's saying, something's been removed. And I'm thinking, don't talk to me like that. I've got a wife. Finally, we got checked out. Now, let me tell you how bad it was. My wife, get this, the queen of Walmart, she said, I'm never coming back here.
Now you know what I went through, because if you can drive a woman, a shopper, to, you know, of her caliber, to saying, I'm not coming back, it was bad. Then the topper of toppers, I mean, our card is stacked up sky high. I can't see to drive it. I get into the parking lot, and I'm pushing this thing. She's pulling, I'm pushing. We're watching all the bumps so something doesn't fall off. And we've been in there so long, I've got a good sense of direction. We've been in there so long, I can't find my truck. You know, up and down the aisles, trying to find that truck. And my little, I got one of those little dudes that if you push it, your lights come on and your horn honks. I don't know what's wrong with mine. You got to be right on top of my truck to get it to work. But I'm going through the parking lot, pushing the button, just hoping. And about that time, all the very special, what kind of oranges are those? Clementines? Oh, we had to have a great big box of those clementine oranges that had they were not secure. They were not in a bag. They were like on a little box we shoved up underneath the cart, and I hit a bump and they spilled. Dozens of these dumb little oranges are rolling everywhere in the parking lot. My wife leans down to pick one up. I said, leave them. Leave them alone. I'm going to the truck. She said, honey, after everything we went through to get these oranges, I said, I'm running over them on the way out. Then this guy comes over and he says, oh, ma'am, I love these oranges. So this old man and my wife are picking up our oranges. I'm just standing there tapping my fingers thinking, we've got to get to the truck. I'm pushing my little button trying to find my truck. Oh, brother. And it's all your fault, Rick Young. Don't go around telling other people's wives there's new stores. I tell you that because I just want you to know I love Christmas. I love it. But you know something about Christmas? The truth be known, the wise men had the right idea. In this story, the wise men, they had the right idea. Listen, Matthew 2, verse 9, 10, and 11 says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If we really wanted to get down to what Christmas is really all about, the wise men had the right idea. It was not, though giving is good, it really wasn't all about you and I giving things to each other. It was really all about, number one, God's gift to us, and then some gifts given to God. These wise men, they brought gold, frankincense, myrrh. The Bible says they brought gifts and treasures. See, Jesus was the center of attention, not us. Jesus was the center of attention, not the wise men. Jesus was the center of attention, not the manger, not the shepherds, not Mary and Joseph. You know what? You even find out. These wise men, they gave up time at home to go celebrate the birth of the Christ child. Now, you could criticize me if you would like, but it really will not hold much water, because I'll tell you, I believe in the family. I believe in the family very much. I taught for 30 weeks in a row a series on the importance of the family here in our church. But when someone says, Christmas is really all about family, Christmas is really all about Jesus. Oh, it is about the family, and I love the family, and we promote the family. We believe in the family around here. But all those people out there, they're saying, well, it's really just all about family. No, it's really just all about Jesus. Oh, indeed. Indeed, we enjoy our families. The wise men actually gave up some time to go and celebrate the birth of the Christ child. And it was some time, maybe even with their family. Mary and Joseph were focused on Jesus. They sacrificed in regard to the birth of Christ. Jesus is the reason for this season. This day is all about Jesus Christ. So, the wise men had the right idea. They were giving to the Christ child. They were giving to the birthday boy. He was what it was really all about. So secondly, Christmas is not about receiving. It's not. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. Do you expect to receive? Is that what really makes Christmas for you? That you receive? There's somebody in here. You're upset to this very moment because you don't think your boss gave you a big enough bonus. Because you think receiving is what this time is all about. From your parents? Are there children? Are there teenagers here? You didn't get what you wanted and you're upset about it to this moment? Wait a minute. This isn't about receiving. It's not what this time is all about. Your wife didn't get you what you wanted, or your husband didn't get you what you wanted. The happiest people at Christmas are the ones who are totally ignoring receiving.
Yes, sir.
Hey, don't allow yourself to become dependent on other people for your joy anyway. You know something? If you get your joy out of receiving, that means your joy is in the hands of other people, and if they choose not to give, you have no joy. But if you get your joy out of giving, there's nobody in this world that can stop you from being happy. And so these wise men, they had the right idea. It was about giving to Jesus Christ. That's what they did. They said, we're going to give gifts and treasures and frankincense and myrrh. We're going to give to Him. God had given a great gift to us. These men said, let's give to the Christ child. This is all about Him. He's the one being born. He's what this is all about. It's not about receiving. Thirdly, so Christmas is all about giving. God gave His Son. The wise men gave. The shepherds gave. Who did they give to? Jesus. They gave to Jesus. Thank God Mary gave. You say, how did Mary give? I'll tell you something. Mary had enough good sense that when she was a young lady, she kept herself pure and virgin so God could choose her to carry the Christ child. She gave her body. She gave her youth. Joseph gave his trust to Mary and God so the Christ child could be born. Jesus, I got thinking about how much Jesus gave. Think about this. Jesus Christ left a perfect heaven to come to a sin-cursed world. He had to be born in a manger. What a sacrifice. I wonder if the devil was in the background going, ha, 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 God's going to be born in a manger down there. I wonder how humiliating the devil tried to make it for Him. Now, I really believe the season is really all about giving. But it's really more about giving to Him than our giving to each other, though I think we should give to each other. I'm glad everybody's giving gifts, but I just think you ought to take a moment and think about it. Whose birthday is it? If you walk the aisle and you're going to get married and the groom didn't show up or you didn't have a ring given to you, you'd say, hey, something's not right here. I'm getting cheated. If you won the ball game but you didn't get the trophy, you'd say, wait, I'm getting cheated here. Well, how in the world could Jesus Christ feel while we're all so busy doing things for everybody but Him? Him. There's some things we could do for Him. Somebody here could take sin out of your life for Him. You have vices in your life that should not be there. Booze, cigarettes, pornography, something that needs to be taken out of your life. How about you decide, I'm going to take that out of my life, Jesus. It's a gift to you. How about taking some hatred out of your life as a gift at this Christmas time for Jesus Christ? Put Him on your list. It's not too late. The day's not over. Put Him on your list. Maybe decide you're not going to be a gossip or a negative person, or you're going to take care of some of that pride in your life. I don't know, but I think you could give Him a gift today by taking some sin out of your life. Maybe it is that you could give Him the gift of deciding that you're going to win some people to Jesus Christ. You're going to tell some people about Jesus and get them saved. What a good gift. That's why He came. Maybe you need to commit to Him that you're going to grab you some gospel tracts and pass them out. Maybe you're going to show up on Thursday nights and start going out and telling others about Christ. Or come on Saturdays to our soul winning meeting and tell others about Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to witness to some workmate or some neighbor. I was thinking yesterday morning, one of our good men at our men's prayer breakfast began to weep as he began to say, Brother Owens, there was someone at a gas station up the road here from the church, and they were in an accident, and they died this last week. One of our good men, as he sat there and wept and said, I wish to God I would have had the opportunity to win him to Christ. I had won a couple of other people there to Christ, but I never got to that one that died, and I wish I would have. Well, I'll tell you, maybe somebody in here needs to get their eyes off themselves this year, maybe at this Christmas time, and say, you know something? I'm going to come out of myself, and I'm going to go tell others about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell them about salvation. That's going to be my gift to you, Jesus, this year. I'm going to start witnessing. This year, I'm going to start testifying. This year, my gift to you, Jesus, is I'm going to tell others about you and win them to Christ. Oh, there's so many things we could do. There's somebody here. If you died today, you don't know you'd go to heaven. How about you give Jesus Christ the gift of your soul? Maybe it is you need to give Jesus Christ the gift of being faithful to church. Maybe you need to start coming to Sunday school and you promise Him today, that's it, I'm going to start coming to Sunday school. You promise Him today, I'll start showing up on Sunday night. I'll start showing up on Wednesday night. You promise Him that you'll show up in His house like you should. Maybe somebody here needs to promise God that you're going to change your life for Him. You'll do whatever it takes to be used of God. You say, I want to get on one of them church bus routes and go out and help needy people. Or I'm going to step up so I can be used in Sunday school. I'm going to help with the cleaning around the church or the maintenance or the snow remover or whatever it is. But you ought to make a commitment and say, I am going to do what it takes to be used of God. Maybe there's somebody here that could, you need to make a promise to Jesus on His birthday, a gift to Him. Now we've given to everybody else. Let me ask you a question. What'd you give to Jesus? What are you going to give to Him? He is the birthday boy. We say we believe it. He's the reason for the season. This is His birthday. That's why we didn't cancel the birthday party around here. No way. No way. I could not face God if I canceled the birthday party on the day of His Son's birthday. How could we do that? Maybe somebody here needs to give God the gift of maybe a financial gift. Maybe you need to commit yourself to tithe. Maybe you've stolen from God and you need to give back to Him what you've taken that did not belong to you financially. Maybe you just need to give a special gift to God. I don't know. But I know this. I know it's His birthday. It's His birthday. I mean, nobody here. Nobody here. We throw a birthday party for someone and invite everybody to celebrate, have a good time, and leave out the birthday boy. I'd recommend you get him on your list. If you really love him. Or you just play in religion. You like all the fringe benefits of Jesus Christ, but not like Him? Yeah, give me all that stuff that goes along with it. I really like all that. Well, I want you to face God eyeball to eyeball this morning and just answer the question, what are you doing for Jesus for Christmas? I mean, it's His birthday party. What are you doing? My sermon's concluded for the moment. But I'd like for you to think about it. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to the Savior. If you've never trusted Christ, one of the best things in the world you could do today is say, you know, I want to go to heaven someday when I die. Today, I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my personal Savior. Give your soul as a gift. Give your eternity as a gift to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Some of you ought to make a decision on something that you're going to give Jesus Christ for His birthday. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask a personal question, whether you're in the balcony or on the lower floor. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? This whole season is about the Christ child that was born of a virgin, came and lived a perfect, sinless life and died for us. They buried Him and He was resurrected from the grave to make salvation available for you and for me. And if you've never received that as a free gift, it's a gift to you. You need to turn to Him and receive it. If you're here today and if you die today, you're not sure you go to heaven, I want to ask you a question. Would you like to receive Him? Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know. I'd like to receive the free gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I need to be born again. Anyone else, you say, that's me. I need to be born again. You may put your hand down and listen very carefully. Maybe somebody here just needs to say, I've decided I'm going to give Jesus Christ. You give it to Him this morning. You promise it to Him. We're going to have a brief altar call, though the service will not conclude at that very moment. We're going to have a brief altar call. If you've never trusted Christ, in a moment, we'll ask you to slip out of your seat, come toward the front. where you can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Father, take what's been said and use it, please.